fly as a serpent, as innocent as a dove. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life. If you are into playing games with God, turn off your radio now. This is a program designed to help beggars tell other beggars where they found bread. Here's Steve with a teaching for today.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Judges. By the way, I very much appreciate your taking your time each day to study the Bible with me. I know the time in our kind of life is probably the most valuable commodity you can give somebody. And I know that you're taking your time to do this is a gift to me. And I try to make sure that I spend time in God's Word so I tell you what I've discovered so that I don't waste your time. But anyway, it's a high and holy privilege, and I thank you for it. We're looking at the book of Judges, and we're in a multi-week study of the Old Testament. It's an Old Testament survey, and I'm taking time with each of the books. I think I'm going to finish with Judges today, and tomorrow we'll look at the book of Ruth. But we took some time at the close of the broadcast yesterday to talk, and what I'm doing now is simply going through the book of Judges as a tour director and pointing out some of my favorite passages. 16th chapter is the story of the failure of Samson and how Delilah got him. And I read you the first few verses of that, how he had lied to Delilah when she, using her wiles, said, "Tell me why you're so strong." He said, "Well, if you wrap me up in this kind of..." And it turned out when she woke him up that he had lied to her. And then finally, if you drop down to the 15th verse, Delilah says to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? Oh, you have mocked me these three times." He kind of fibbed to her three times. "And have not told me where your great strength lies." Now, he should have known that something was going on here. I mean, this was not a part of God's covenant people. This was a pagan lady. He should have known that his best interest was not in her heart. So when she pestered him, and that's what the text says in the 8th verse, when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death, and he told her all his heart, and he said to her, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite." And a Nazarite, they were people who were especially set apart unto God, and they took certain vows. "I've been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak like any other man." And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart." So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hand. Now, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I think it's very important that Christians be the wisest people on the face of the earth, that we be wise politically, that we understand the nature of human beings, that we understand the implications of the fall, and that we understand that not everybody in the world has our best interest in their hearts. And I think the Bible spends considerable time telling us that. I got a letter this morning from a friend, and she told me about another friend whose house was robbed in Miami yesterday. They took the companion in the middle of the night. They took the computer and a bunch of other stuff and didn't even wake anybody up and left. And that makes me so angry. I just want to get my hands around it. I know it's not Christian. And I'll repent as soon as I end the broadcast. But it really does. It really makes me angry when somebody I love gets robbed like that or bad stuff happens. But the interesting thing about my friend who got robbed is that she had a Rottweiler. And I wrote back and said, "Tell her to get a German Shepherd." Because Rottweilers can be mean, but they're not as good as German Shepherds. Now, I have a German Shepherd. His name is Thor, the pagan god. And I have Thor, Thor was a pagan god, but he's the pagan dog. And I have Thor in our house because I don't want those kind of things happening to me. Now, what is that? You say, well, it's very unchristian. No, it's not. is Christian, because I've listened to what Jesus says about being innocent as a dove and as wise as a serpent. If you're a Christian, don't give me this nonsense about never locking your doors. Lock your doors. What are you, crazy? If you're a Christian, don't just put your keys in your front seat and go into a store, because you ought to be smart. Don't be devastated when people lie to you. Don't be surprised when things don't go well. Don't be upset, Jesus said, when you find that everybody doesn't like you. Jesus then went on to say, I told you beforehand, so when it happens, you won't be surprised and shocked by it. Well, I just thought that Samson should have listened to Jesus. If he had waited a while to be born, maybe into the Christian era, he could have heard what Jesus said, and maybe all this stuff wouldn't have happened with Delilah. But you know, so be as wise as a serpent and as innocent as a dove. You think about that. Amen. Well, on Wednesdays, we take some time to answer some of your questions. We love to get your questions, by the way. And on Friday, my pastor comes in and we answer questions together. But on Wednesday, at the end of the broadcast, I try to catch up on some of these. You can send us your questions to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. But be sure and give us your regular mailing address if you want an answer. And you always do get an answer on the broadcast or in the magazine or from me or a staff member, because we don't believe there is a dumb question except the one that isn't asked. And by the way, don't use the 1-800 number for questions. That's to subscribe to the magazine to get the free Key Life tapes, to get the pamphlets free that we offer. But you got, or to make a contribution if you'd like to, but the questions you got to write out. Enough. Let's get to some of these. We're about 8 bazillion behind. This is from Tennessee. In the Bible's teaching, how can we determine what was cultural and what applies to our lives today? Well, you have to be careful. It's obvious, because the Bible was written for a particular time in a particular place, that some things are culturally oriented. There's some that are obvious. If you live in America or Canada, and there's some teaching on slavery, you know that that is particular, and that is culturally oriented for a certain time. Now, there are principles you can draw out of that. Treating people with respect has something to do with racism, has something to do with the value of human beings. But the specific teaching is meant for a particular time and a particular place. For instance, Paul said to Timothy that he didn't allow women to ever even speak in church. Now, was that culturally oriented, or was that something that could be applied today? Well, the way you do it is you go to the Bible and let the Bible tell you what is cultural and what isn't. For instance, if you're a liberal, this side of Pink O'Connor or left-wing theologically, and when you come to something like that, you sometimes don't believe it. I mean, that's cultural. And so whatever you don't like, you say that's cultural, you don't have to do it. But if you're reasonably orthodox, you can't do that. And so you check out some other places in Scripture. You find the lady by the name of Priscilla who spoke. You find the daughters of Philip who prophesied. You find the deaconess in the church at Rome. You find women doing stuff in the Bible. Remember earlier this week I talked to you about Deborah. So you got to say, when you let the Bible interpret itself, that what Paul told Timothy is culturally oriented, because there is the whole counsel of God in the Bible that speaks to that. And so most of the time, if it's not obvious, you have to say, Lord, if this is not just for their time, if this is to be applied universally everywhere, show me, and then go to your Bible and begin to study. Begin to find out what the Bible says about those particular things. Well, probably more than you wanted to know on that. This is from Oregon, and I've heard this before. I'm not exactly sure where it comes from. Is there any difference between believing in Jesus Christ and believing on Jesus Christ? Not, I don't think so. Is there, some of you guys write me and let me know, is there somebody teaching that there is a major difference between those two prepositions? I don't know. I don't know any difference. Both of them refer to what is necessary for salvation, and that is that you lean on, you rest on, you believe in. That's not just intellectual assent. You say, if Jesus' blood doesn't cover my sin, I'm in such trouble, you wouldn't believe it. And once you understand that, that's where salvation comes, trusting in Christ, or trusting on Christ for your salvation, and doing that alone. I may be missing something here, but maybe not. This is an email. Person says, will the Christians struggling with homosexuality go to heaven? Now, listen to me. If you're washing dishes or you're at work and you're not paying any attention, if you don't pay attention, you're going to get angry and you're going to write me letters, and don't do that. So listen very carefully to what I say, and don't say I said something I didn't say. I believe the Bible teaches that homosexuality, in terms of its sexual repercussions and living out of that lifestyle, is sinful. The Bible is clear on that. But what is it in us that makes us take one sin and ask a question like, can somebody struggling with this sin go to heaven? Listen, why don't we ask, will the Christian struggling with gluttony go to heaven? Boy, that's become, I'm having to deal with that recently. I never have in my life. I could eat whatever I wanted, and now I'm an old guy. I eat it, and I'm finding out I can't do that. And I'll sit there and look at that piece of cake and think about it a lot. And then I'll remember the saying that the best way to deal with temptation is to give in, and I'll eat it. What if I should die right after I eat that cake? Would I go to heaven? Of course I would. Why is that? Because Jesus is the one who saves me, and his righteousness is imputed to me. And that's true. We have listeners who are struggling with that particular sin, homosexuality. Man, I know how hard that is. That's a hard place to be, and I know that sometimes you do it right, sometimes you do it wrong, and it's hard. Man, I got my own stuff I'm struggling with. But Jesus, we belong to him. Likes this a lot, so it's okay to struggle. But keep struggling. Hey, I've got to go. Whenever you write a call, be sure and give us some call letters at this station. And Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.